Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again to our special show today, featuring several interesting people connected in one way or another with the Tucson Festival of Books. I have with me today John Davis from Arizona Lithographers. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you.
Well, it's a real pleasure to have you. A fellow Michigan graduate. I did my graduate work there, so I know you went to engineering school there. Let me give a brief introduction for John. He went to the University of Michigan. He's a native of Detroit, but it was his time post being with Ford Motor Company that he came here to sunny Tucson, Arizona to pursue a master's in business administration. And as he'll surely tell us, just couldn't bring his heart to leave the place. So with that, he joined and did a variety of things here in Tucson, including working at the Union Bank of Tucson, also in the Security Savings and Loan Association. And then in 1978, decided to take that big leap and become self-employed. A variety of things to his credit that I'm sure are going to come out in the mix, but of course his love and passion is now leading Arizona Lithographers, as well as being heavily involved in charitable and civic affiliations here in Tucson. Married for 44 years, he and his wife Carolyn have 5 children and a variety of activities that keep them busy and, of course, supporting her career as an author as well, right?
That is correct.
Indeed. Well, with that, John, tell us the story of Arizona Lithographer and how was it you became connected in 1978, so that's over 30 years ago.
That is. And in 1978, I was attempting to develop real estate during the Carter years of runaway inflation, which was like beating your head on the wall. And I met 2 printers from Chicago who were vacationing in Tucson, and they happened to mention that they really love Tucson and would like to find a printing firm that they could invest in and find more time in Tucson. And I said, I just happen to know a former classmate of mine who owned a printing company and would like to sell it. And I took them down to show them Arizona Lithographers. And these gentlemen said, we really like to buy this, but we want a local partner. And I thought, boy, it's time for me to find something that had a little bit more opportunity than the real estate market. So I then became a 25% owner in the firm. And 6 months later, my friends in Chicago felt that I was the person who should be watching the shop, and I felt since they're printers, they should keep an eye on the financial statements. And we had a meeting, and because the market was really down at that particular point, I offered to go down there and put the company into bankruptcy or to turn it around.
Okay. That's a fascinating story. So, and you had you had any previous experience in the printing business per se?
Absolutely none.
That probably equipped you the best to have a clear set of eyes then.
You know, I think so. I did go to MBA school, and you know, there's a few things that you learn. One of them is that you need to differentiate your product from other people, and that's when I looked at the area of fine art as being a focus in which we could concentrate our energies on replicating good color. And I think that's been the secret of our success.
Is having that niche that you actually have grown and expanded, right, with the fine arts itself here out of the Southwest.
Yes.
Can you remember some of those first clients that you worked with back then?
Well, I think probably the most notable was Olaf Weekhorst. And in the area of Western art, it goes Remington, Russell, and Weekhorst in that order. And Olaf was in his late 80s. His stature was just, you know, it was beyond comprehension to be in the same room with the man. And I'll never forget the first fine art print I did. He signed a dozen artist proofs and gave them to me, and he said, these are for your children.
Isn't that marvelous? What a connection to have that legacy. The business then, as it's grown and expanded over the years, of course, give us a sense of your other customers. Of course, the fine arts one is one we're going to focus on here to the balance of the show, connected with the Tucson Festival of Books. But you really are a full-service printing organization.
Absolutely. Being a general commercial printer, we run the entire gamut from point of purchase packaging to brochures, letterheads, business cards. We do an awful lot of greeting cards, fine art reproduction, She Clays, which are inkjet fine art on canvas. And we do an awful lot of industrial packaging, which goes south to Mexico.
Okay. Oh, so that's a really are a global business in that regard.
Well, we are, yes. We look to the south for our future. Mexico and the maquilas are very, very strong and a great source of energy for our what we'd like to do.
Yeah. Now, over these years, 30 years, my goodness, John, the amount of capitalization and changes in the technology, whether that be internet to do the digitizing and all that to the onset, but even the back end, actually, all the publication equipment. Has this been a business that's required that kind of routine capital investment?
This printing is a very capital-intensive business. The large format printing presses that we use for fine art and our publications are multi-million-dollar pieces of equipment. In addition to that, the length of time it takes to produce a particular product gives you a very long working process. So you have a tremendous investment in terms of materials and labor before the product is completed and ready for delivery.
And the materials could be obviously the varieties of papers, but also the types of ink that are used and the binding materials in the case of books?
Yes. Paper is very, very significant, of course, in our business, and it represents about 30% of our gross product. But at any given time, we may have a 250,000 pounds of paper on hand.
Wow. And you're saying that that is in finished product or both finished product as well as the raw product?
That's raw material.
Raw material,
yeah.
Just raw material.
Finished product. We maintain a warehouse of approximately 6,000 square feet with just finished goods that are ready to stage for delivery.
And your customers, you mentioned the maquiladoras, but also customers outside of the state of Arizona then?
Yes. I would say that Tucson or the Tucson metropolitan area represents about 40% of our gross revenue, with the rest of it coming from adjacent states and as well as Phoenix. We have a very good reputation statewide, and New Mexico and Southern California.
Wonderful. John, tell us about the team then that makes up Arizona Lithographers.
Well, I think we're blessed in that we probably have some of the longest tenured, knowledgeable people in the print business, and that has been a key to our success, is that the longevity and the expertise that these people bring. We have approximately 65 employees, and this is a very difficult industry to be in because it's fraught with change. I mean, every day we wake up, there's something new, primarily in the area of digital. But our people have been up for the challenge, and they challenge me in terms of keeping up with the technology, and that's exciting.
That's great. Well, particularly your engineering background that appeals to a must coming out of the automotive end of the business, but yet now into the manufacturing side at the same time.
Well, I love printing from that standpoint. It's a terribly complex product. It's a process that requires a very delicate sense of chemistry, with absolutely perfect balance, precision machinery. We have equipment that weigh almost 100 tons that have to be balanced over a 50-foot area of less than one-tenth of an inch, because the size of the motors are such that if the drives were just off balance
exactly.
by a little bit, it would destroy everything.
It's a
lot of technology, it's a lot of mechanics, and it's a lot of creativity.
That's wonderful. Being here in the Southwest with the air being drier and the temperatures, granted, I imagine you have to really have quite an air conditioning system on your buildings, but does that make for a different product? I once had someone here on the show that was in the artisan bread business, and they said the whole formula had to change when they went from being the Midwest to the Southwest, given the different air qualities. Does that affect the printing business?
Absolutely. A paper has approximately 50% water content, and with the type of environment we have, it means that in the wintertime, we're constantly putting humidity in the air, manufacture our product. Otherwise, the static electricity created by the movement of paper would create a lot of shocks and some dangerous situations. And then conversely, in the summertime, we're taking all the water out of the air that we possibly can, because the monsoons will wreak havoc on paper, and it becomes very limp and difficult to work with.
Oh, fascinating. John, I know here in the last few months, while the rest of the economy may be in a standstill at different pockets, both here locally and across the nation, you've chosen to make a big investment for your company. Tell us about the expansion of your campus.
Well, absolutely. And again, I think it's a function of the times, and it's certainly time to look and move forward. And especially with the construction trades being at their lulls and what have you, that it was an opportunity for us to begin long-deferred construction projects that we would need to go forward. So we recently acquired a 7,000-square-foot facility that we converted to our administration, sales, and electronic operations. And now we're in the process of modifying our manufacturing plant in order to bring our finishing operations under roof. We currently are operating out of four buildings here in Tucson. We're trying to get that down to three, with two of those three being together and the third one being an offsite remote distribution facility.
Well, as far as leading change, it isn't just the facility that you're obviously leading, but I suspect moving people in new locations and co-locating others where they haven't been co-loaded before, you're going to see some new shifts even on how your team interacts. Has anything started to bubble up yet?
Well, it's been very exciting. I think change brings out the best in everybody. And this is what I've been very excited about, is that people seeing the new environment, colors, and things of that nature, they get re-energized and excited about what they're doing.
That's right. And then they can be the font of new ideas or other latent ideas that might have been just sitting under a box, but you move the box and bingo, it pops up.
Yes. And we're seeing that, and that our people are spending a great deal more time focusing in on other types of clientele that we should be pursuing, specialties that we ought to be looking at. And
can you give us some examples of specialties?
Packaging. We've always have had a pretty good reputation in the area of packaging, doing point of purchase, clamshells, and things of that nature. And now we're looking at getting larger equipment so that we could get even into larger boxes and things of that nature.
What are the partnerships that make your business click then? Those that you might pull in to do some things that otherwise you wouldn't have in-house, or are you pretty well vertically integrated?
Well, we're vertically integrated to a great extent, but in the area of the specialty finishing operations, we rely on partners in the Phoenix area. We use Roswell Bookbinders for these fine art coffee table books, and their work is just second to none. We also buy out some of the perfect binding when we do very large runs of books.
Mm-hmm. Well, of that, why don't we talk a moment then of the exciting book that's debuting here today at the Tucson Festival of Books that your organization's been in partnership with the other individuals that are going to be on the show here today, Bill Mumy's book, The Art of Mumy. Your connection with it, of course, is not just as a publisher, but I know you're a real patron of Bill's, and both of you run in similar circles with the Friends of Western Art and so on. Tell us about the journey for you.
Well, I think this one is a journey of love, because anybody who knows Bill knows he's the real deal. Bill's an ex-big game hunter, guide, animal trainer, and just an incredible artist. And it's just a joy to reproduce Bill's works. He has a very unique palette in that he works with very cool colors, but with great detail, and gets a wonderful sense of depth with his wild animals and what have you. So teaming up with Bill to do this book has just been a joy and a labor of love.
Labor of love. It's a beautiful piece, absolutely beautiful piece. For those of you listening here in Tucson, depending on what your day looks like, make sure you swing back down here to the University of Arizona, the mall. Booth 117 is where Night Horses is, the publishing company that actually partnered with Arizona Lithography, and take a look at these beautiful books. The prospect, John, of growing your business around fine arts, does that come from your own passion of the arts, or did that kind of grow at the same? Which came first? Was it the chicken before the egg, or are they just part and parcel to what you always been exposed to as a youth?
Well, I was never exposed to Western art as a youth. Okay. That is something that is just unique to the Mountain West. And as you know, Western art is very, very unique. It's the ultimate form of romance art, by the way, because the one thing that I feel about Western art is that the piece itself pulls you right into the frame. You want to be there and feel the adrenaline as the cowboys are being chased by the Indians, or the lion is about ready to pounce on the prey, or the beautiful sunsets that you may see.
Right.
And so Western art is a passion that I developed after coming to Tucson. And it was only in desperation of trying to turn around this business that I felt that I needed to find a focus. And I tried to identify fine art as being a focus as opposed to production printing.
Well, and so you have to have your cake and eat it too, in other words.
Well, I try.
You try. I know if anyone would take a tour of Arizona Lithographers, which, by the way, is based on the west side of town, just west of I-10, in some regards, coming into your lobby, it would be a bit of a museum, Bill, because you've been gifted so many beautiful pieces in the course of printing with your artists.
It is, and we've been blessed to meet an awful lot of very famous people and to be associated in their projects and what have you. Many of the pieces that we have hanging have wonderful stories associated with
them. Can you tell us one? What's a favorite story of yours?
Well, I think that I have one in which we did a painting of General Chuck Yeager, and it's called, and this was done for the American Fighter Aces Association, and it's a painting of General Yeager in a P-51 Mustang, and he had just shot down a German ME-262 jet, and the title of the print is Yeager's First Jet, and of course the idea is that with a prop plane, he shot down this jet.
This jet, I love
it. And he's doing a flyover, and the ME-262 is on the ground, and the cowling is off, and the pilot is sitting there. And I said, General Yeager, was that man really alive when you did your flyover? And he says he was, but he says it was a little bit different. He says, when I flew over, he was standing on the wing, and he gave me the one-fingered salute as I flew over.
What a great piece of history that you would have. And then those prints were, I think you had told me, you made a special run of those prints, didn't you?
We did an edition of 1,000. We had a contract with the military in which we did a series of many, many prints of outstanding fighter aces, and these were all autographed.
That's great. It's a wonderful. So the idea of sharing the art, the sense of community, and a real passion for you as a leader of the business, that you have your avocation, your hobbies, and things that have grown and changed over the years.
Oh, yes.
So what's the future of Arizona Lithographers?
Well, I think it's exciting. We're moving into the area of digital, and that's changing processes, and it's allowing a lot more people to be involved in publication work because it's becoming very easy to do one book as opposed to doing 5,000.
Yes, and so that obviously opens up the doors for more self-publishing than perhaps has been representative publishing in the past.
A great deal of it. We're seeing a lot of people who are producing 50 or 100 books for their families, and they're doing them professionally by, you know, spending a great deal of time with Photoshop and a lot of the other types of manipulative software, and they're producing books that are of the quality that you would say is professional.
Exactly.
And they're getting a great deal of satisfaction out of it.
And I think it's part of their own journey, and their, whether it be a legacy or to catapult their business or their avocations in new directions.
Well, it's exciting because a good proportion of those have gone from the very low-run digital to high-run conventionally produced books. So.
Very good. Well, John, it's been a real pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for your contributions to Bill Mumy's book, The Art of Mumy. This has been John Davis with Arizona Lithographers, based here in Tucson. Stick with us as we have up next Ted Larson from Night Horses Publishing and Fine Art, which actually collaborated between John's organization, Jack Kowalik, who you'll meet third, who's a photographer that also then interfaced with the production of this beautiful book. Stick with us here on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson News Talk FM. Change is chaotic, that is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. the Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.